was going to ask you about Bevacizumab, because I think people would jump right to checkpoint inhibitors hoping for prolonged response, maybe even unmaintained response. But you do see that with Bevacizumab, and I think a lot of docs are not aware of that. When you try to indirectly compare the chance of launching a patient into a prolonged remission between a checkpoint inhibitor, Bevacizumab, what's your general sense right now?
My impression is both can do it. The fact is both drugs have a similarly high overall response rate. Both drugs induce complete remissions only in a small proportion. The complete remission rate is probably higher with brentuximab vedotin, and about half of the patients who achieve a complete remission will be sustained more than 2 years later. So I would say for a patient who gets brentuximab vedotin and achieves a complete remission, they have a reasonably good chance of having a sustained remission well after they've completed their, say, 1 year course of therapy. For a patient who does not achieve a complete remission with brentuximab vedotin, their chance of progression is very high. The partial remission patients typically progress relatively quickly. And so if I were to predict somebody on brentuximab who may be durable in their remissions, it would be the complete remitting patients to initial therapy. Interestingly, the same exact paradigm isn't true with the checkpoint inhibitors. Though the vast majority of those are partial, not complete responses, we do see some of those responses evolve to CRs over time, and even some of these partial responses can be durable. So I would look at the toxicity profile. Certainly, they're very different. With brentuximab vedotin, the big thing is typically peripheral neuropathy and the need to dose reduce or stop dosing if peripheral neuropathy is getting significant. With immune checkpoint inhibitors, we're really thinking about more of immune-mediated toxicity events, again, usually which are reversible.